What a glorious day. But I wonder on this Easter day, what are you hoping for? What is it that you are hoping for? Maybe as you look in your life, you're hoping for success in exams that are coming up. Maybe you're hoping for success in a career. Maybe you're hoping for success in a relationship or with a family. Maybe you're hoping, as we look upon our world and we look upon the terrors in Ukraine, maybe we're hoping for peace. I don't know, what are you hoping for? Because I want to think about hope. And I've brought my special hope bulb. Because this is a special hope bulb. Because I want to know, what is it that are Christians hoping for? What are Christians hoping for? And in many senses, there's an acronym that of hope which can help us understand. We were looking in the book of Romans. And Romans 15, which has been a verse many of you have been touched by on the back over these last few weeks. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What is this hope that we are talking about? What is this Christian hope? And the first thing I want to say, using the acronym HOPE, that the Christian hope is holding on to the promises entrusted to us. In that chapter of Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." The Christian hope is all the promises contained in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. All the promises of the hope of God's kingdom, his rule and his reign will happen. That is the Christian hope, that we are holding on to the promises of the Scripture, of the age of God's rule and reign, when his kingdom will be established across the world. But also we are holding on, Christian hope is holding on to the belief that peace exists, that there can be a peace. Verse 12 of chapter 15 says this, "The root of Jesse, that is Jesus, will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." And so the Christian hope is part of all the fulfillment, all the promises entrusted to us in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. We believe, we hold on that peace will happen, that Jesus will rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles, the Ukrainians, the Russians, the Syrians will put their hope. This is the Christian hope, that peace will come through Jesus. Hope also for the Christian is we're holding on to the belief that all pain will end. All pain and suffering will end. That there will be wholeness, there will be justice, there will be freedom from disease and pandemics and even death itself. That is the Christian hope, that we hold on to the promises entrusted. We hold on to believe that peace is possible across the whole world in Jesus. We're holding on to the belief that all pain and even suffering and even death will end. We're also holding on to the belief that praise will be everlasting. That actually the whole world will come to glorify the God who will fulfill all these promises. That the whole world will come to acknowledge and bow down and worship. And just as we hopefully have come this morning and have enjoyed celebrating worshiping God and found life in worshiping God, so the hope is that praise will be everlasting to this glorious God revealed in Christ, and all nations, all peoples will gather and worship him. And we also hold on to believe that our prayers are effective. goes on in the end of Romans 15 about how Paul prays that his task will be completed, that he will do what God has entrusted to him. And the Christian hope is that all the prayers that we prayed will be effective. That, in a summary of Romans 15, is the Christian hope. What a great hope. No one can deny that's a great hope and vision. But for some, people may think that that hope is a bit like my hope bulb. And they think a hope bulb might be, Christian hope, might be a bit like this hope bulb, that if I hold it enough and I hope enough, it might come alight. Do you want to try that for a minute? Let's all hope that this bulb will come to light, give off light. Do you think you can do that for me? You're not hoping enough. Come on, hope. Hope, come on, this bulb can come alive if you just hope enough. Of course, you know, that's nonsense. I know that's nonsense. But some people think our Christian hope is a bit like this hope bulb. It's just wishful thinking. It's just these Christians who just think, well, they want this better world. They want the way things should be. And they're hoping, but I'm a realist. I know that's never going to happen. They're just like that hope. It's just wishful thinking, a bit of positive or hopeful thinking. But that's not the hope that we talk about. Because what we believe as Christians is that the hope bulb is not the hope like this bulb, but it's what we call a living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter 1 tells us, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That somehow the living hope, the reality of what Christians hope for, is alive and well because Jesus rose from the dead. And it is today, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that means Christians are not just hoping for the impossible. They're not just sky hoping and believing and wishing. The resurrection of Jesus declares it a living hope. Because otherwise, as the writer to the Proverbs says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. That actually is, we're hoping for all these things to happen. If it keeps on being put back and back and back, we lose heart, we become sick, we give up. It's pointless. But it goes on to say, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that means the hope of the Christian. The hope of the Christian is a living, living, live, joyous hope. And it's a hope that is based on the resurrection of Jesus. And the hope bulb is not a hope bulb in the sense that we really hope it's going to live. A hope bulb is a bulb that when it's connected to the power, it gives off hope. It gives off hope where there is darkness and death and violence and war and destruction and injustice and suffering. The hope bulb, the Christian hope, gives off light of hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's why, even at tough times, even when you're in the middle of a war, even when things are going against you in a war, the Christians in Ukraine, guess what they're doing today? They're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead because they're giving out light in the darkness. Because light overcomes darkness. We have a living hope. And that is the hope that Christians have. And you say, how can I have that hope? How can I know that that's something I can plug into the resurrection power of Jesus? Well, like most electrics, we won't get too technical here. Most electrics often have three wires. We'll forget the earth, okay, because you don't need an earth. Most, to get power alight, you need two wires. two wires connected and plugged into the power supply. And can I suggest quite simply that if we want to radiate and have a living hope and believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then there are two wires. There are two ways that we need to connect with the resurrection of Jesus. The first is through Scripture, through the Holy Scriptures. We read that it's through, we read in chapter 15, that it's through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement that they may provide hope. Endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures that give us that hope, that connect us with the hope of God. And as we come to this Easter day, can I say that actually Scripture, and particularly the Gospels, are written, as John tells us in John 20, verse 31, that we might believe in Jesus, believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the reason Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote their Gospels was to declare that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And if we're to connect with this truth of the resurrection, we need to read the Gospels, read the eyewitnesses' account, try and grapple with, did this really happen? Because if it did really happen, then it means all the promises of God, the peace, the hope, all that we are promised is true and can be ours. And so as we grapple with the Scriptures, as we grapple with the eyewitness accounts, we have to ask ourselves four questions. What do the Scriptures say? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, where was Jesus' body? Where was it? Why does this story of the resurrection of Jesus go on? Because surely all the authorities had to do was produce a body and say, ha ha, here it is, he didn't rise from the dead. How do you explain the absence from the tomb? How do you explain the soldiers who are let off the hook for losing a body? Would not happen. How do you explain the absence from the body as his own disciples, as his own followers went to anoint his body, knowing where he was, and they could not find him? As you grapple with Scriptures, how can we explain the absence from the tomb? How can we explain the grave clothes? How can we explain why they found the grave clothes? Because if someone had stolen the body, whoever it was would have taken the grave clothes because they'd have made a bit of cash out of it as well. Why bother with trying to unwrap all the grave clothes? Why not just take the body, keep the grave clothes, and make money? But more than that, if they took the body, if they unwrapped the body of Jesus from the grave clothes, taken the body of Jesus out, then guess what they did? They then wrapped them all up again to look like a body, to look like a shell. That must have taken long. Why would you do that? Unless Jesus had risen out of the grave clothes. As we look at the Scriptures, not only need to understand the appearance of Jesus, the appearance of Jesus to those disciples. Now, some of you say that was just wishful thinking, just hoping to see Jesus, and then they see someone that looks a bit like Jesus. I've done that recently. My brother died last year, and I suddenly thought I saw him. Whether that was wishful thinking, hopeful thinking, but on looking closer, it obviously wasn't. But actually, was that? How do we explain the appearance of Jesus? Because it wasn't just the wishful thinking. Because these disciples didn't just see him as individuals, they saw him as groups. You don't hallucinate in groups. And we read that 500 people hallucinated. Over 500 people saw the risen Lord Jesus. He ate with them. He allowed them to touch him. The person I thought was my brother, I'd have to touch him. I just got a bit closer and I realized it wasn't him. But these disciples who knew him, ate with him and touched him. No other explanation but the resurrection from the dead. And fourthly, we have to grapple with those transformed lives. The lives of those disciples who had given up, who were locked away in their rooms, who were scared, who were terrified of the authorities, suddenly had a new living hope. They suddenly believed that Jesus was alive. They suddenly believed it all wasn't lost. On the road in Luke, we read two of the disciples were wandering away. And as they were wandering away, Jesus appeared to them, and they didn't recognize him. And they said to Jesus in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus, as they talked to him, they said, "We had hoped he would restore the fortunes of the people." We had hoped. Yet they'd lost all hope. They'd given up on all hope. But then suddenly, when Jesus revealed himself to them, the hopeless then ran all the way back to Jerusalem, a long way, excited, and at nighttime, ran all the way back because they suddenly had hope. Their lives were transformed, and these fishermen, these 12 fishermen, began to change the world with a living hope. Basis of the resurrection of Jesus is the encouragement and endurance that comes from the scripture. And as we put our hope in the resurrection, we need to read the Gospels, read the transformation, and allow that to connect us with the resurrection. But secondly, not only is it through scripture and belief in scripture that we connect to the resurrection. I said there were two wires. What does that verse that we've been looking at over these months say? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the second way we connect with the resurrection of Jesus is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We had a couple come in into church recently, and they loved the verse because they wanted joy and peace. And we talked about it and we explained about it to say, how can they know joy and peace as they trust in the scriptures, as they trust in what Jesus has done, and as they overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit, as they trust in Jesus and they connect with the Holy Spirit comes and connects us with the reality of the resurrection of Jesus and fills us with joy and peace. That's how we connect. As we read scripture, as we connect with the Holy Spirit, as we ask God to reveal himself to us and pour his joy and peace into our lives, as we want to experience that resurrection power by the Holy Spirit, we then find our lives are transformed. And you may have grown up in a Christian home and you've seen and witnessed things, but your life hasn't been transformed. You might even believe some of these truths of the scripture, but your life has not been transformed. That will come as you trust in scripture and overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as you do that, you'll be transformed and you will be a hope bulb. You'll be a light in the darkness, pushing back fear and worry and darkness, giving hope in the midst of death, giving hope in the midst of war and violence, giving hope when things are not going well. You radiate and give off the joy and peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. That is how we connect with the resurrection. But can I put it a bit more simply as we close? We're told it comes through the endurance and encouragement that comes from Scripture. But we also read that it comes from God who gives endurance and encouragement. So if we are going to connect with the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, can I suggest there are three things practically that we can do as a response to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Firstly, may the God of hope, the God of encouragement and endurance, give you hope, fill you with hope, fill you with joy and peace. The first thing to recognize is this: something that cannot come from within you, it comes from outside you, and it's something you need to receive. And this Easter day, God is wanting to fill you with his life, fill you with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, fill you with joy and peace, fill you with the Holy Spirit. But you need to receive. You need to say yes. And how do you say yes? By trusting in him. By saying, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you for your joy and peace and life, that I might have hope. But not only do we need to come to that point of receiving, and that's what we call when we become a Christian, where you make that step to trust in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, to believe that God raised him from the dead, and to receive that life, joy, and peace. That is simply what becoming a Christian is, and it's just saying yes to Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead, and I now need to receive your life, peace, and joy. And when you move towards God, when you say yes, God comes to you and fills you and pours his life into you. That's how you begin the Christian life, but it's through endurance and encouragement. The word endurance in the Greek is the word hupomone, which probably doesn't mean much to you, but literally it's translated abiding under. Two Greek words, to under and to abide under. And that's part of what it is to remain connected to the living hope, is to abide or remain in Christ. To abide or remain. Jesus said that when he was on earth, abide in me, remain in me. That's what we're called to do. And if we want to continue to be connected to the resurrection power, we need to abide in Christ. Abide, Jesus says, in him, in his word. We need to abide in the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to abide in connecting with Jesus, that his life may flow through us. We abide as we read the Bible. We abide as we pray. We abide as we come to church and have fellowship with one another. We abide in these ways, that the life of Jesus may flow through us. You may say, I did become a Christian, but my lamp and my hope has diminished. In fact, it's gone out. Well, perhaps it's because you've stopped abiding. You've stopped reading the Bible. You've stopped praying. You've stopped coming to meet with other Christians, because we're called to abide. That's the endurance. Even when life is tough, even when life is difficult, even when life throws things at us, even when we see we're under, the whole world is on us and we're under it, we still need to abide. And finally, we not only need to abide in Christ, we also need to embrace Christ. The word endurance and encouragement that comes from God and from Scripture is the Greek word paraklesos. Now, if you've been in a church a little while, you know that may sound familiar. It may sound like the word paraclete. The word paraclete is the word that we use for the Holy Spirit, the one who literally comes alongside. That's how the Holy Spirit is described by Jesus in John's Gospel, the paraclete, the one just like Jesus who comes alongside us. It's the same word for encouragement, paraklesios, the one who comes alongside us, the one who advocates for us, the one who leads us and directs us and helps us. That's the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. That's the encouragement that we need. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we need to embrace it. As we abide in Christ, abide in Scripture, as we embrace the Holy Spirit, as we walk with the Holy Spirit through all our days, as we make sure that he is embracing us and we are embracing him, as he comes alongside us, we embrace him and say, walk with me, help me, encourage me, lead me. Then as we do that, we can then live this life of hope, of joy and peace, by the Scripture and by the Holy Spirit, the two wires that connect us to the resurrection power of Jesus, that provide the hope and the light, that shines in the darkness, that brings others drawn to the light, that will ultimately bring that living hope, the hope that the Christian hope will be fulfilled, that Jesus will come again, The hope that all the promises of Scripture will be fulfilled. The hope that peace will come. The hope that pain will end. The hope that praise will be everlasting. And the hope that all our prayers will be effective in the name of Jesus. That is the living hope. And that comes because of what we remember today, that Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. What is God saying to you? Jesus is alive, which means we believe he's here as we've worshipped and opened up God's word. Choice is yours. Are you going to receive? As you come to trust Scripture and the Holy Spirit, are you going to allow God to fill you as you say yes to Jesus? Some of you need to just say yes, Jesus. And if you're still not sure, can I encourage you to take a book away? I'll leave some out called Why Jesus, which explains that simple way of receiving Jesus, becoming a Christian, to saying yes to Jesus. For some of you today, you need to do that. For some of you, you need to come back to that endurance, that abiding. You need to come again. And on this resurrection day, as God fills you and has filled you here with joy and peace, you need to abide under all that you've got to go and face in the week ahead and in the month ahead. You need to abide. How do you abide? You abide as you read Scripture. You abide as you pray. You abide as you come for fellowship to this place. If you want to know what that resurrection power is, you abide. Or maybe simply, for some of you, you need to connect with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to embrace the Holy Spirit. You may believe Jesus, you may abide in him, but he came. He ascended to heaven. Why did he ascend to heaven? He said, it's better that I go away so I can send the Holy Spirit. Have you embraced the Holy Spirit in your life? The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Have you embraced it?